I want to preach to you today out of the Ten Commandments. And I don't want to vain jangle. I want to teach you properly, using the law as it should be used. And I want you to see how important the law is, how very important it is. Exodus 20, verse 12, one verse. Honor thy father and thy mother. Everybody here is a child, and or everybody here has children. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now this is called the first commandment with promise. Notice it has a promise here with it. Here's the promise. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Why would God make this law the first law with promise? That strikes me as being very important. It's something that I want to look into this law, what this commandment says, because this is the first commandment in the Ten Commandments that's given with promise, with a promise attached to it. Well, who is God? He is God the Father. And this commandment says, honor thy father. Who are you? Who am I? Everybody sitting in this room is a child of God the Father. Whether we've been called by His grace or we have not been called by His grace, whether we've been elected unto salvation in Christ or we have not, we are still children of God the Father. Everyone here. And this is what God requires of His child according to His own law. He says, honor thy father. Truly the word is honor God thy father. What's the promise if you honor God the Father? If you honor God the Father, thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, if we break the law of God, there is a penalty. What's the penalty of dishonoring God? What is the penalty of dishonoring God the Father? The penalty of dishonoring God is found in Leviticus 20, verse 9. Now, this will come by dishonoring your mother or your father. Because if you dishonor your mother or your father, you dishonor God the Father. All right? Leviticus 20, verse 9. Here's the penalty. Everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Woo! Mama and daddy's penalty don't sound so bad, does it? This is God's penalty. Everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now look over at Deuteronomy 27. Well, somebody might sit here and somebody might say, well, I've never cursed my father or my mother. I've never outwardly with my lips cursed my mother or my father. All right, Deuteronomy 27:16. The Lord says, 27:16, He says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. What does that mean? That setteth light by his father or his mother. It means if you've even thought about dishonoring your father or your mother. If you even had a thought that entered your mind. Mama and daddy said, get up this morning and get dressed. It's time to get ready. We're going to church this morning. Get up, get dressed, and come in here and eat breakfast. We're not going to be late this morning. And you laid around there in the bed a little while. And you dishonored them right then. You set light by your father or your mother. You dishonored them. Why are you telling me this? And God says of that, death. Death. You mean it's that serious? It's that serious. Death. Why are you telling me that? Why does God demand death if I disobey my dad or my mom? Because when I disobey, when I dishonor my mother and my father, I am disobeying God the Father. God the Father. Well, why do we even have thoughts about disobeying our parents? Because the heart we're born with is only evil continually. Well, then why would God give a law to a people whose heart was only evil continually, and He knew that there was no possible way they were going to be able to do the law He gave them and live? Why did He give that law? Romans 5:20 says, "The law entered that the offense might abound." What's the offense? You see, you hear me preach about depravity. I want you to understand, you sitting here, all of us sitting here are children. All of us sitting here have gritted our teeth and under our breath walked out of the room dishonoring our father and our mother. There's not a soul here that hadn't done it. And every one of us have broken the law of God and dishonored God the Father by doing that. And God says every one of us are cursed. We have nothing that come in our way but death if God leaves us alone. You see, you hear me preach about depravity. I want you to understand that depravity is not simply a doctrine we teach. Depravity is what you are, and it's what I am. Is it coming home to you today when nobody's sitting here has not broken this law? You understand that? So this is what we have facing us if we come into God's presence: death. Cast out eternally from God Almighty. Death. All right? He said that the law entered that the offense might abound. All right? Back in Adam's day, and I won't have you turn here. You can if you'd like. Genesis 2:16. Adam was the first son of God the Father. Adam was the first son of God the Father. And he's the head of the whole body of mankind. All right? All mankind will be born of Adam. Those born of Adam will be like Adam. All right, so God the Father put His Son, Adam, in the garden. God is Adam's father. Adam is God's son. And He put him in the garden and He gave him one law, the law. He gave him the law. And He said, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." You know what God told Adam then? He said, "Honor thy father." That's exactly what He told Adam. Honor thy father. And He said, He gave a promise to Adam. He put him in a paradise. He put him in a spotless land. A spotless man in a spotless land. And He put him there, and He said, when He gave him that law, He said, "Honor thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's exactly what He was telling Adam. But there was a flip side to that law. There was a penalty to that law. He said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, Leviticus 29 said, "Everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." It said, "Cursed be he that setteth light his father or his mother." And in Genesis 3:6, the last word says, "And he did eat." Adam dishonored his father. And when he did, God said, "Cursed. You're cursed. You came under the curse of the law." Now, that is the offense. That's the offense. The law that entered in Moses' day entered that the offense might abound. Everything that Adam did, when he broke that one law, the law, he broke everything that you read about in the Ten Commandments. He set up an idol for himself. He coveted the glory that belongs to God. He tried to steal the glory that belongs to God. He committed spiritual adultery against God the Father. He dishonored the Father, and he died. And he died. And so Adam had children, and they had children, and they had children, all the way down the line to you. Legally, the law says, you've broken it, you're guilty. But not only that, you were born of Adam, so that You're born with a heart just like Adam had after he died, so that you come forth as soon as you can, breaking the law of your father, dishonoring thy father and thy mother. I've told you this before, I think. I told the kids this in the Bible class. Whenever first time that Will, I can remember Will showing me truly what he is in his heart, was there was a mirror laying on the up against the wall by the in the bedroom, and I said, Will, don't get around that mirror. You can play anywhere in this house you want to, but don't go near that mirror. And I walked out of the room and I walked back in, and that mirror was laying on the floor broken. He was just barely able to walk. I should have just picked it up and moved it. He was barely able to walk, and he broke that mirror. And I went to looking for him and calling his name. Will, Will, where art thou? And I went into his bedroom, and there was, from his knees down, sticking out from under his bed, because he couldn't get himself all the way under his bed. And I just thought of Adam. Adam, where art thou? That's what we are. Nobody teaches us to dishonor our father and our mother. We know how to do it without even being taught it. And we know how to hide when we've done it and try to cover ourselves in fig leaves and say, no, I hadn't done it. Nobody teaches us that either. But God won't accept anybody who's broken His law. He won't accept one person who's broken His law. And everybody here has broken it. So there's not a single one of us here that it can look at these Ten Commandments and try to keep these Ten Commandments and expect God's going to show us some kind of favor in any way whatsoever. It will not happen. It will not happen. All right, now that's the first point. Here's the second one. So then, is this law not important to me? Me as a child, I'm still a child. I still have a father and a mother. Is this law not important to me? You who live at home with your father and mother right now, is this law not important to you? This law is very important to you. It's very important to you. The whole law of God is holy, just, and good. It's very important to you. Why is this law particularly so important to us? Well, it's important for us to honor our father and our mother for this reason. There are other reasons, but this is very important. Listen to this. God is going to use somebody that He has already taught His gospel to and already made a new creation by His glory and His power. And He is going to use them to teach His gospel to those that He shall save through that gospel. God is going to do that. All the old writers would tell you that honor thy father and thy mother means even more than just our immediate father and mother. It means those in civil authority. It means honor to whom honor is due. Now, the most important thing is the honor is due to whoever it is that's teaching you the truth about God Almighty. Now, look at Deuteronomy 4 and look at verse 9. This is what God told them after He gave them this law. Deuteronomy 4:9. He said this, only take heed to thyself. He's saying, be careful to take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. That's what a witness is. He has seen with his eyes, and he has created in his heart the truth of God, by God's power and spirit. He says, teach them thy sons and thy son's son. Now, if the son is not honoring his father, it won't do any good if the father's trying to teach the son or not. He won't hear and listen and hear what the father's teaching him. So this is very important. Now, look now what he said to especially teach your sons and your daughters. Especially, verse 10, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. That's when they stood there at the foot of Mount Sinai and God gave the law through Moses. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You see this? Teach their children. And he says, and you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. He said, now you don't forget to especially teach them this. When they came to that mountain and they came there and God gave the law, that mountain, it trembled and it quaked and it was on fire and it was filled with a thick darkness. And God was declaring in no uncertain terms, nobody under the curse of the law shall ever come to me in this law. You'll never come to me having obeyed this law by your hand. You'll never be able to come to me by the work of your own hand. It is not possible for a sinner to come into the presence of a thrice holy God. Impossibility. But there was something else that happened that day too. He said, you teach your children especially this. There was something else that happened that day too. God received them and spoke to them and communicated His word unto them through a mediator, through somebody who came between them and God. He dealt with them that way. And that's the only way He dealt with them. And God says, now you go teach your children. And He says to the children, honor thy father. You listen to what your father's teaching you. And He tells the father, now you especially teach them this. There is nobody that's going to come to me in this law having obeyed it themselves. You have to have a mediator between you and God. You have to have a go-between. Have to. All right? That's how we're going to be accepted of God. Now let's look at the go-between. All right? You remember whenever Abraham was promised that there was going to be a son of promise that would come. And in Abraham's seed, in his child, this son of promise, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God was speaking of Christ. I've showed you that numerous times. Galatians 3, 15 or 16 tells you that. That seed is Christ. And the immediate son would be Isaac. And he would be a son of promise because Abraham couldn't have children. Sarah couldn't have children. It appeared to them a great mountain of utter impossibility for them to have a child. But what God promises, God's able also to perform. And He said, you're going to have a child. Well, Abraham got tired of waiting, and Sarah got tired of waiting. So Sarah gave Abraham her handmaid, and Abraham married the handmaid, and he went in and he had a son with the handmaid, and they named him Ishmael. Well, later on, when God told Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, is a picture of Christ. He said this, the Spirit of God tells us in Hebrews 11, that God said to Isaac, offer up thy only begotten son. That's the only place in Scripture where that phrase, only begotten son, is used other than when it's used in regards to Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. You see, God did not anymore regard Ishmael at all. He didn't even regard him as even being a son. He said, Isaac is your only begotten son. Well, when Adam sinned, that was God's son. When Adam sinned, God disregarded Adam as a son, and God disregarded every person born on the face of this planet throughout all time that is a son of Adam. He disregarded all of them. And God has one son, one only begotten son, and that's His son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sent Him forth into the earth. And this was His word to His son, honor thy father. Honor thy father. That's the word God the Father gave to God the Son, honor thy father. And He entrusted into His hand all the glory and all the honor that the Father possesses. He gave it to His Son to honor the Father, to honor Him. And He entrusted all the elect of God that He purposed to save. He entrusted them to His Son. So all the glory, all the honor, all the salvation of all the elect children of God is in the hands of the Son, to whom God the Father said, "Honor thy father." If my father tells me, your father tells you, would you go in there and pour me a cup of coffee? There's a whole lot more. Dishonor being shown to my father if I don't do it than me just not going and doing what my father said. I'm doing exactly the opposite of what God the Son did. God the Son is trusted with all this honor. All this honor. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He obeyed the Father. This one who was in a place called glory. I'm so sinful I can't even tell you what that place would be like. He's in a place called glory. And He leaves that place and He comes into a place where everybody in that place is only evil continually. He comes into a place where everybody He faces are sinners. He comes into this place where everybody He has any contact with are as opposite of Him as you and I are to God in our nature. And He comes into that place because He came to honor the Father. And He was made under the law. He became a man that He might be under that law that His children broke. That He might walk all the days of His life and fulfill that law. Turn over to Matthew 5:17. When men who are vain janglers, men who like to teach the law and they don't know what they're teaching, who bring believers under the yoke of the law, they accused Paul of being lawless. But that's not all. They accused my Savior of being lawless. And my Savior said this, Matthew 5:17. The Son of God, the only begotten Son, the faithful Son, said this, Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Here's the illustration. Is there anybody here that doesn't have sense enough to know that if you fill this cup full to where you can't add another drop to it, that the cup's full? It's full, right? It's filled full. It can't anything else be added to it. Christ said, I did not come to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy everything that's written of me in the prophets. I came to fill full so that nothing else needs to be or can be added. That's what He came to do. He came to honor the Father. And He came to do it on behalf of a particular people given to Him of the Father, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right? The Son of God fulfilled everything that was written of Him, everything that the law said. But now remember, there was a penalty to that law. There was a penalty to that law, honor thy father. And that penalty said, everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. We got to be justified from it. We got to be justified from that law. Not only have fulfilled it in every jot and tittle, we've got to be justified from it. Christ never cursed his father. He did only that which pleased the Father. We read over and over, He said, I must do this that all righteousness might be fulfilled. We read it over and over, He did this that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He did everything He did that He might fulfill everything written about Him in this Old Testament. Everything that was required by God in the law, that the righteousness that He wrought, that He worked out by His own obedience, would be the righteousness given to His children, wherein they would stand completely having obeyed that law, because He obeyed it for all. But they got to be justified from it too. That's part of that righteousness. They got to be justified from that law. And so, this is what Romans 5 says. I want you to see this. Romans 5. We go there a lot, but I want you to see this particular verse especially. And I want you to bear in mind this. Romans 5:15. Now this, Paul has been telling us how that Adam was a picture of Christ, and how they're similar as federal heads and representatives of their people, and how they're different. And in this particular verse, he tells us how they are different. Watch, Romans 5:15. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. The gift that God gives to His people is not exactly like it was when Adam sinned. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. In other words, it was the offense that Adam transgressed. Just one law, one man, one law, and condemnation came upon all mankind. But the free gift given that God gives to His elect for whom Christ died is of many offenses unto justification. And we're talking about Christ being made sin for His people here. We're talking about Christ coming under that law as the guilty one. Every offense. You just think about, we've been sitting here for 25 minutes. You think of the offense of how many times your mind has wandered from the Word of God your Father. How many times you have set light in your mind, in your thoughts, right now, God the Father, right now, so that you deserve death. Think of how many times that's happened just since we've been sitting in this room in 25 minutes. Now you think of how many offenses the elect of God, one elect child of God, had transgressed over his whole lifetime. Now you take every elect child of God from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, and every offense they have ever committed, and that's what Christ was made to be. It was so bad, he's the only man in the history of the world who it caused his capillaries to bust and he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the promise said, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Cursed be he. And in Galatians 3:13, it said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. Now that is what it takes to honor God the Father. Anybody here want to come to God and say they've done it? Anybody here want to come to God the Father and be so ignorant and so foolish that they will walk up to God and say they have honored the Father by what they have done? Anybody want to do that? But you remember that promise, honor thy father and thy mother, or that commandment, it had a promise with it too, didn't it? The promise with it was that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God the Son, having honored his Father completely, even unto the death of the cross, was highly exalted by God his Father and given a name which is above every name. You know what that name is? He said in Psalm 2:6, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And the Lord said to my Lord, he said, I'll declare the decree. Thou art my son. That's a name above every other name. God the Father said, thou art my son. If God the Father is not ashamed to own this one and say he's my son, because he honored him so that God, holy God, can say he's my son, we need to find out about this son. We need to find out about who he is, because God don't even regard me and you. He don't even regard what we've done. He said, I've begotten thee. Ask of me, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I'll give thee a land. And he has given him a land eternal. Now, you listen carefully. This is what God says of you and me. This is what we have to do. We have to honor thy father. Honor thy father. honor thy father. Those tables were the work of God, Exodus says. Somebody came to him one day and they said, asked the Lord Jesus, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You believe on him whom he hath sent. Now turn to John 5:22. Honor thy father. That's what you have to do. Honor God thy father. Well, how? I see that Christ did it. I see Adam didn't do it, and I see that I didn't do it in Adam and by my own transgression. I see Christ did it. And how am I going to honor the Father? How am I going to honor God the Father so that God will receive me perfect? Perfect. This is what he said. This is what Christ said. He just said, the work is that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now when he gave the law, Exodus 30 said, that those tables were the work of God. That was the work of God. Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. In other words, you believe on him, that law is fulfilled. And what do you do believing on him when you believe on him? John 5:22. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. How do I honor the Father? How do I honor the Son? If I don't honor the Son, I don't honor the Father that sent him. The Lord said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And Christ says, and if you believe on me whom he hath sent, you honor the Father. You honor the Father by honoring the Son. And how do we honor the Son? Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You see, believing on him whom the Father sent is believing on the Father who sent him. And thereby we honor the Son and we honor the Father. And he says, and they hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but are passed from death unto life. God said of that promise, everybody that honors me, he said, that thy days shall be long. How long? Those that believe on his Son and trust his Son to have completely fulfilled the law for them, he gives them eternity. A lot of days. Eternity. Upon the land, that thy days shall be long upon the land. It's the new heavens and the new earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You didn't have to do one thing to work for it. Christ did it all. And the Father says of those that believe his Son and honor him, I give it to you. I give it to you. He says of us who believe by his grace what he says of his Son, thou art my Son. My Son. Now, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. What does that mean? It means Christ is the end of the law, period. End of the law, period. We don't make void the law through faith. It's how we fulfill the law, by believing on him who fulfilled it. And when you've heard this, when this Christ has been formed in your heart, that's when the law of God is written on the inward man. And when the law of God is written on the inward man, you know what you'll do? You will honor the Father by telling your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your daughters, your sons that do not yet believe this gospel. You will honor the Father by telling them the truth about his Son. And whenever God has put this word in your heart and written his law in your heart, you will love that father and that mother who faithfully declared to you the truth of his Son, who honored the Father by honoring his Son, who told you the truth, whereby God quickened you to life and gave you faith in Christ. You'll love them and you'll seek the rest of your days to honor them. And that's how God makes his people faithful. Faithful. That's how we fulfill the law, and that's how he makes us to, after our inward man, walk after the law. under grace, not under the law. Under grace. Amen.